What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, mental health, finance, and business. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate. And before we introduce today's guest, my brother Eric from Hunts Vegas, aka Huntsville, Alabama, Alabama A&M alumni. Who do you have for our Black Men Sunday spotlight, my brother?
Hey, thanks for that wonderful introduction, Corey. My spotlight today, we're going to recognize this young lady here. Her name is Diana Nash. Right now, she's currently 85 years old. Now, Ms. Nash, what makes her such a remarkable candidate is that she is a fearless, or was, or still is, a fearless leader and educator that played an integral part in the Civil Rights Movement back at Fisk University, like I said. Now, while a student at Fisk, she became heavily involved with the movement. Now, in 1962, after receiving a two-year sentence for encouraging young people in a nonviolent direct action, she chose to go to jail rather than accept a plea despite being 4 months pregnant. Now, as she stated, this will be a Black baby born in Mississippi, and thus, wherever he is born, he will be in prison. If I go to jail, now it may help hasten that day when my child and all children will be free, unquote. Now, she ended up spending 10 days in prison before a judge that reduced her sentence. Now, again, this is her in 2000. This is a picture of her when President Biden presented her with the Congressional Medal of Freedom. That's my spotlight for today, Ms. Diane Nash. Now, Corey, back to you.
See, I kind of like the spotlights when you give us a little poetic Alabama swag, man. It almost gives me that flavor of, them ribs on the grill with that good seasoning on it, So, I appreciate that spotlight, man. That's why I didn't know that, man.
Yeah, man, that's a lot, man. If you go back and do a little research, man, you'd be surprised of the accomplishments that we've done. That's, these hidden figures that we don't know much about. So that's what, that's what this is all about, for me to bring out some people that you may not know. I enjoy doing research, and, it's educational for me as well. So, hey, this is what it's all about. This is what Black Men Sunday is all about. So.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm going to have to add to the Instagram page when you do the spotlights. I'm gonna have to have you send me the picture so I could post them, and then I could tag you and say, hey, this is Eric with the spotlight every week, because I feel like, we spotlight the guests, but it'd be nice to spotlight the spotlight every week.
Yeah,
and it spotlights you too in Hunts Vegas, because
right.
We done had over like 8-9 guests from Huntsville or by way of Huntsville. So yeah, man. Well, all right, brother, I appreciate that, man.
We
enjoy
appreciate
day,
you bro.
Enjoy your week, man.
Hey, you too.
Definitely. All right, fellas, ladies, let's go on to introduce today's guest. We're talking to Ray Simmons. This brother is Black Men Sundays alumni. This brother's born in Warner Robins, Georgia. Over 20 years of military experience with the United States Air Force. This brother's living that retired life right now. This brother was stationed in the UK. This brother was stationed at Patrick Air Force Base. That's Brevard County, Florida, Melbourne, Brevard County. I almost said Volusia, but I got it. I know my stuff. And this brother here is an investor. We talking stocks, crypto. We done talked about the crypto in the last show. This brother also has a website, Blueprint for Crypto, educating brothers, educating sisters. So if you don't have any knowledge, you scared to spend that money, check out Blueprint for Crypto. But without further ado, Ray Simmons, brother, welcome back to Black Men Sundays. How you doing?
How you doing, Corey, man? Thank you for that great intro, brother. I appreciate that, man. And it's good to be back on the show, man.
Definitely. And you looking good in that hat, my brother.
Oh, yeah. You gotta represent, man, the Black Men Sundays, man, every Sunday, I've been getting a lot of compliments on the hat also, and plugging Black Men Sunday as well to my brothers and sisters.
I appreciate that. And just as a quick tidbit for the brothers that didn't listen to the last show with you, this brother's father, Ron Simmons, WWE, WCW, played football at Florida State. Brother was a Hall of Fame inductee, college football and pro wrestling. So this brother here, man, it's legendary talking. I'm ready to get started, man. I'm ready to talk. We talking day trading. We talking options trading. Let me just make sure my vocabulary is on point first. Is there a difference between options trading and day trading, or is that just the same thing?
That's a good question, Corey. Yeah, there is a bit of a slight difference with day trading. You could be trading by the minute, every 5 minutes, every 15, hourly. You can swing trade. So when it comes to options, it's a little bit different because you're using the stocks in the market for almost like leverage. And I'll explain what I mean by that. For example, with day trading, you can day trade anything from options. Some people day trade Forex and other instruments as well. But the reason I like options and what differs options from day trading is you are allowed to play with a lot more money. Or let me put it this way: you don't need a lot of money to play options. Versus if you were day trading, sometimes you depending on your lot size or what have you, that'll depend on the profits you're able to take if you're day trading. But I do a little bit of both. Options trading, though, I will say there is it's a complex system to learn. But once you learn it, you can literally this can replace your 9 to 5. This can replace your day job, brother. It's a lot of money to be made in options, and I'm going to explain in the most simplified way of how people can get started. And this is mostly geared towards some of the new traders and the people that don't really trade options, if they're ever interested in getting into the options field. That's what this podcast right here is going to be about, sir.
All right, well, let's dive right in, man, because, well, first off, a lot of brothers that I know that do day trading, I see them, we'll be at work, they'll be on their phone, and then they'll go on a shoot, come back, and they're like, oh man, I lost like a couple $100 just because I couldn't look at it.
Right.
So what are the risks? Before we jump all the way into it, like, what are the risks involved? And like between day trading and options trading, let's talk about that first. And then my second half of that question is, I have family members that say, man, the stock market, just options, all that's just legalized gambling. So there you go.
Because I've heard that expression also before, like legalized gambling. There's a risk. I'll say this: there's a risk with options. There's a risk with day trading. There's a risk with crypto. There's a risk when investing. Period. There's always going to be a risk, and that risk, our jobs is a game of probabilities. Just like if you were to go to Vegas, there's probabilities, right? That you can consider that gambling. But in the field of day trading and playing options, you have a little bit more control if you put in the work, if you do the homework, and if you and what I mean by that is just learning how to look at charts, trying to understand what a trend is, and which is really important. I'm gonna get into all of that, but I would say what separates it from gambling is when you're looking at charts, the charts are almost they give you a footprint of what has already happened. And you base that footprint that you base those footprints off the probabilities of what could be happening next. Now, there's a lot of things that influence, even if you're day trading or your options or anything, there's a lot of things that influence that from the fundamental side of things, with companies that have, I'll give you an example, companies that have earnings and pay dividends and things of that sort. All these things, it's important to learn and to understand these things prior to jumping into any type of day trading, prior to jumping into any type of options trading. Because if you, it's almost like if you were, I'll put this in the terms of, if this was a basketball game or something, you going in the game, you have no idea, what a triangle is or what or any of the plays are. You're just out there just trying to shoot, right? That's a gamble, right? If you don't follow the system, you could get wrecked out there, on the court. And the same thing applies to the market as well. Like if you don't put in the time, if you don't put in the education, and I'm not talking about just watching, some YouTube videos for like 10 minutes at a time or whatever. Although there is some substance in some of these like YouTube videos that try to teach trading and options. However, this has taken me like years to, and I haven't even mastered it yet, but I do pretty well. And it's taken years of education and learning before I even jumped into the options field. So if you haven't put in the work, I say all that to say this, if you haven't put in the work and you're not studying the charts and you're not understanding what technical analysis or fundamental analysis is, then essentially you are gambling. So I hope that kind of answers the question. It is a gamble if you disregard all the rules and all the work you need to put in prior to that. So, but if you can learn technical analysis and learn a little bit about fundamental analysis, how to read charts, and I'm not talking, you don't have to be a guru or, you know, somebody that, you know, has mastered the charts, because the market has a mind of its own, right? You'll get humbled really quick in the market if you don't have any type of experience and if you don't put in any type of work. So it is, in that sense, it is essentially a gamble if you don't put the work in. But do a little bit of studying, you know, start learning. Like what I'm talking about today, I'm going to give you guys, it's a lot of trigger words and keywords I'm going to give you guys to the listeners to research also. If you learn this stuff, it makes it a lot easier and it makes it seem like less of a gamble.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because the last time we had you on, I'm not going to lie, when we were talking about the Bitcoin and the blockchain, I had no idea what you were talking about, but I did my research. I brought a professor on and then I started really studying. I'm like, oh, this makes sense now, you know, and yeah. I see the Bitcoin coming back up, but we're going to get into that later on. I just want to, you know, I want to stay on the options trading right now. So Absolutely. If I'm a beginner, you know, where I may have stocks, you know, in the S&P 500, I may be already an investor, but I've never done options trading. So, you know, let's say I'm just that person or someone that's never invested at all. Like, how can I get started with the options?
Sure. All right. So I'm going to break it down. This is the first thing I want to talk about is, this is all going to lead into actual options, but price action. I want to talk a little about price action and how that works. Now with options, just like if you were a day trader as well, but with options, there's a buyer and there's a seller on the other end. It works the exact same way. And when you look at a chart and you see those green bars and those red bars, all different sizes and stuff, you know, those are buyers and sellers. So it takes buyers and sellers to make the market move. Now I say we as a retail trader, we aren't the only ones in the market. You have to understand that. That's really important. There are hedge funds in the market. There are bankers, companies, you know, that are trading in the market along with retail traders. And those big institutions and those banks and those guys, those are the ones that can really move the market. Like us as retail traders, we can't really move the market as much as those guys. We don't have the liquidity, that we don't have the money, you know, that they have to move prices, so to speak. So the first thing I really want to harp on is like the price action side of things. So there are buyers, let's call the buyers the bulls, right? And we got sellers, let's call the sellers the bears, right? You've heard that terminology before. So the thing I need people to understand is the market can only move in three directions. And that's up, down, and sideways. That's it. It's not a complicated thing when you really think about it. We overcomplicate it a lot. We bring our psychology and our issues and everything else into the market. But the market itself, again, simple. It can only move in three directions, up, down, and sideways. And when it's moving sideways, we consider that like we say the price is consolidating, right? It's buyers and sellers are battling it out, right? They're going head to head and the price is just moving sideways until there's a large influx of buyers or a large influx of sellers that come in at a specific price in the market, which tends to move the price up or down, right? So it really is an ongoing battle against buyers and sellers that move the market. And like I said, us as retail sellers, we make small footprints in the market because we're not the only players that are in the market. So understanding that there has to be a buyer and a seller on the other end for every transaction, no matter what kind of trading, no matter what you're trading, there's always a buyer and a seller in the market. The market can only move in three directions, like I said, up, down, and sideways. Identifying the trend of a market, easiest way to really simplify that, if the market or the price is moving up in an upward direction, you're probably in an upward moving trend, you know, in the market. And the same thing goes vice versa for if the prices of the particular stock you're looking at, if the price is moving down in particular, then that, you know, the market is moving in a bearish direction. So far we got buyers and sellers. The market can only move in three directions. We want to identify what the trend of the market is. Is the price going up? Is the price going down? We're looking at the charts and how long has the price been going up, right? How long has the price been going down? These are some of the things we want to identify going in. Now, in that trend, like I was saying, if the trend is moving up, the price is moving up, you know, market's moving up, you're going to see a mix of red and green candles, you know, along the way. You know, again, buyers and sellers. Now, you can have buyers and sellers in the market, and if the trend is moving up, that means the buyers are in control. And if the trend is moving down, that means the sellers are currently in control. That just means an influx in one or the other, if that makes sense. So along with that, I need people to understand just learning some of the fundamentals of whatever stock you're trading. You know, I advise people to look at that stock, look how it's moving before you even decide to trade it, you know, whether it's options, day trading, or just normal investing. Watch how that stock moves around just so you're familiar with it. Especially, this is important, especially when you're going to be playing options on a particular stock. You want to know how it moves already. Is the stock a slowly moving stock? Is it a volatile stock that moves quite a bit? You know, all these things are important when it comes to playing options. So learning the stock fundamentals, how it moves, you know, identifying dates of, you know, earning dates and if the stock has a dividend, all these things can influence the price of the stock and how it moves. All right. And then you want to be mindful of news and events, you know, like CPI or anytime the Fed speaker Jerome Powell, anytime he comes on, you want to listen to what he has to say, because a lot of times whatever he says also can move the market. It'll base the determination on which direction the market could potentially go. Sometimes whatever he says doesn't affect the entire market. Sometimes it'll affect a particular sector, you know, so you got to be sure that your stock, if you're trading that stock during those times, you got to be really careful, especially when playing options. So I wanted to get sort of that introduction and make sure the listeners understand, you need to really understand price action, understand how the market can move, remember in only three directions, and learn the fundamentals of whatever you're trading, right? You don't want to go into any stock blindly and try to trade it, you know. So with that being said, I'm about to go dive right into the options. So you have any questions at all before I jump right into that, Corey?
Yeah, I was just gonna say real quick. So, like, you know, brothers that use Fidelity, Robinhood, the different apps, are those the same apps you use for options and day trading, or, you know, or is that a, or are you using different apps? Because I've heard about it, and I've heard brothers that are successful, but I've never done it. So.
Yeah, you can, when it comes down to whatever brokerage or whatever app you're using, Robinhood, I would say, is fine, especially if you're just starting out. Robinhood makes it really user-friendly for a lot of new traders to kind of identify a lot of the things we're going to talk about. So Robinhood is great for starting out. But as you get a little bit more seasoned and a little bit more experience in the market, I would definitely consider going to an exchange that has, you know, better tools that you can use to help aid you in your trading. I personally use Fidelity. I've used Schwab and a few other. I've used TD Ameritrade in the past. I prefer Fidelity personally because of all the options and tools that platform allows you to use. So it doesn't really matter. Robinhood is fine. Some people use Webull. Fidelity, Schwab, it really doesn't matter. Now, different brokerages may charge different fees for options, for example. So that's just something to be aware of. But I'm talking like cents on the dollar. Most of them don't charge a lot to actually do a play option. Another thing you might have to do, especially with Robinhood and some of the other ones, some of these platforms, you have to actually ask or apply to be able to trade options on that platform. And it's usually pretty easy. It's a set of questions they usually ask regarding your experience in dealing with these. And sometimes that'll determine what type of access that they'll give you to trade these particular instruments, specifically options. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. I have a cousin that uses a Robinhood because it's easy for him to understand, and he's killing it in the market, you know. So there's no I wouldn't say there's not one that's better than the other. It really depends on the user and what they're comfortable with.
And with options trading, is that something where I can put money in and just kind of let it do what it do, or do I need to kind of babysit it all day?
You don't have to babysit options because the option that you have with options is you can actually choose an option that expires the same day. They have contracts that expire the same day. They have daily contracts, they have weekly contracts, quarterly contracts. They even have something called LEETs, which are like yearly contracts. So it is one of those tools where you can kind of set it and forget it, depending on how long the contract is out for. And I'm going to go over all of that as well. But to answer your question, it's definitely important to keep an eye on what the contract is doing when you're trading options. But it's not as bad as, say, day trading would be, where you literally have to sit in front of the computer and you can't move. There are a lot of people that work traditional 9 to 5s and things of that nature, where they don't have the time to day trade because they don't have time to really sit in front of a laptop or a desktop to trade. Now, with that being said, there are ways in day trading to where you can set a stop loss to basically all that is you're basically managing your risk on how much you are prepared to lose in that trade. So some people can set a stop loss and a take profit. I only want to lose this much, and I want to take profit when the price reaches this level. People that are doing that, they don't have to sit in front of the computer either. They can kind of set it and forget it, and because at that point you're at the mercy of the market anyway, and it's going to do what it does. You know what I mean? The price is going to just do whatever it's going to do. So again, it's a game of probabilities, but we want to have at least a slight advantage in the process to where we're determining on whether we're making good trades or bad trades.
In the intro, you said that you can basically quit your job options trading, day trading. Let's talk about that. I feel like that's real interesting. And I hear brothers that talk about that, but I'm like, but then I also hear the brothers that lose that money as well. So let's talk about that though.
Yes, good. Yep. So at the end of the day, what it comes down to is as a trader or an investor, it comes down to the psychology of the individual. And we're all different, right? So with, to give you an example, when I first started out trading, I had a risk that I would be willing to lose $100 per trade, right? And that was it. If I lost $100 per during that day, I was done trading. I closed the laptop. I'm done trading for the whole day. And that alone takes a lot of psychology sometimes. There are people that do what's called revenge trading. When you lose that $100 and you want to get it back, and if you don't have a good trading plan, which is important, if you don't have a good trading plan or you go against that trading plan, that revenge trading can get you wrecked also, man. You end up losing a lot of money. So when it comes to the statement I made about replacing your 9 to 5, obviously, that's not for beginners, but once you are seasoned and comfortable enough to understand how to play options, you can make a ton of money. I mean, I've literally made just 2 weeks ago, in a matter of 2 days, on is a stock called SoundHound that recently got co-signed by NVIDIA. Which NVIDIA, if you know anything about NVIDIA, they've been killing it in the market lately with these AI chips and everything else. But basically, I jumped on a position on this stock called SoundHound because NVIDIA co-signed them. They invested in that company. So what I did is I took that opportunity. And I said, okay, well, this is a positive thing for that particular stock, SoundHound. So let me, do a few options. And the stock, was probably $4 a share. So we're talking pretty cheap for the stock, and so I did multiple contracts, lots of contracts. And to make a long story short, because I know a lot of people won't know what I'm talking about if I just talk, to make a long story short, I ended up making like 10 grand in a matter of 2 days just off of that one stock. And that's, months of, people's salary. You know what I mean? So it's, if you get good enough at this and where you're doing it you know, day in and day out throughout the week, you can 100% replace your 9-to-5 job, 100%. Because think about it, you know, most of our 9-to-5s, if you're a W-2 worker, you know, you're getting taxed, you know, 30 whatever percent at the end of the year every year, you know, by the IRS. Uncle Sam, he wants his cut. And granted, you still have to pay taxes, you know, if you're playing options or anything else. However, you know, if you're good at it, like I was saying, you know, that's gonna put you in a totally different tax bracket anyway. And you know, the taxes, again, they're not as bad as if you were a W-2 worker, you know, working a 9-to-5. So it's that statement was really made for the people that kind of stick it out and learn this and get it down fundamentally and can, you know, end up being successful at it. Options are risky. They're a little bit, I won't even say a little bit, a lot. They're way more riskier than just traditional investing because there are a lot of different fundamentals involved when it comes to options. There's something I want the listeners to write down and look up and research. There's something called Greeks and or the Greeks. And it's essentially, it kind of helps you out with options and the fact that it gives you a blueprint of how a stock could respond while you're playing options, if that makes sense. And it's almost too much to talk about in one show. The Greeks are really complicated. So to save time, I will tell the listeners to definitely, you know, you can watch a YouTube video off of the Greeks. You know, there are a ton of them out there. Some people are visual learners. They need to see it, right? And but the Greeks, I would say, are the number one thing you really need to learn when it comes to playing options. This will determine if you're successful or not. Because if you are just ignoring the Greeks and know nothing about the Greeks and you're out there trying to play options, that's how people end up losing a lot of money usually. And you will get like wrecked in this market if you don't understand volatility and time decay and all these things, or everything that I just mentioned, the time decay and all this other stuff. Those are a part of the Greeks. So it's just like it's spelled, G-R-E-E-K-S. Just look up on YouTube, Greeks explained, and that'll definitely help out. I advise everyone to do that before trading one option contract ever. If you're planning on embarking on this journey, I definitely recommend people learn Greeks prior to jumping into options.
All right, cool. So now let's dive right in now, man, because you know, you kind of get me hyped up. I'm like, well, I kind of want to do some options trading. But I would say just on a minimalist, like,
sure,
as far as trading with the options, I can put up $20 or whatever, or do you like, or are there set minimums already?
There are set minimums when you buy, again, you're buying contracts. So let me first explain what a contract is and what an option is, and that'll make a little bit more sense. So options themselves, there are basically contracts between a buyer and a seller, but there is a expiration date on this contract. So again, I told you they could be daily, weekly, monthly. So think of options as a coupon or a ticket to buy a stock at a particular price, which is called a strike price, which I'll go over later. But you're buying a stock at a particular price, which is usually a lot cheaper than the actual cost of the stock. So these option contracts, again, each contract is 100 shares of that particular stock. So remember that, that's important. 100 shares in each contract is what we'll be talking about and playing around with. So, and that doesn't change. Like all options are 100 shares of a particular stock. So if you got one contract, you're playing around with 100 shares. If you have five contracts, that's 500 shares. So now you can try to understand the math. If you're playing around with 500 shares of a particular stock, and that stock rises $5, right? That's 500 shares times five, right? So that's an easy $2,500, if my math is correct. That's easily $2,500 you could make you can see how the math will start to multiply, you know, because like I said, each one of these contracts is 100 shares of a particular stock, just one contract. Each one of these contracts, there is an expiration date that's already set. And like I said, each contract is 100 shares. And the good thing is you're buying these shares at a discounted price. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. So I wrote an example down before I got on the podcast. So let's use Apple as an example. Apple's trading for about $172 currently. If you were to buy 100 shares of Apple, outside of doing contracts, if you just were to buy 100 shares of Apple in the regular stock market, that would come out to about $17,200 for just 100 shares. Now, if you are doing a contract on Apple, currently, if you choose what we'll talk about called a strike price, that strike price of $172.50, so we're talking about a 50-cent difference, right? That's the strike price. That's the price that I am almost certain that the stock will reach. That contract, those contracts are $1.86 per contract, which again, you have to multiply that $1.86 times 100 because we're dealing with 100 shares, which equates to about $186. So that contract will cost you $186 and you're playing around with 100 shares at the time. So that's $186 with the chance to make profit. Who knows how much profit you can make based off the price, how fast the price moves, right? But, you know, $186 for one contract. And here's the thing, the beauty about the contracts is, like I said, they all have expiration dates. These expiration dates, you don't have to hold the option until, so to give you an example, if I open an option on Apple today for this Friday, the contract ends this Friday, I don't have to hold that contract until Friday. You're not obligated to keep that contract until Friday. If you're up, if you're in the money on Wednesday, you know, say you're up $3,000-$4,000 on Wednesday, you know, you could sell that contract on Wednesday and cash it out, right? Your profit would be whatever the sum of that is minus the cost of the contract, right? There's a premium with every contract. So remember in the beginning, I told you there's a buyer and a seller on both ends, and that applies to everything, even options. There's somebody selling that contract and you are the particular buyer of that contract. So there's no obligation for you to keep it the entire week. Because remember, the person that's selling the contract on the other side, they probably think that Apple's going to go down where you think it's going to go up, right? Only one of you are going to be right. And this is why I said it's super important to be able to at least look at a chart and be able to read a chart and determine where the trend of that stock is going, right? So essentially, there are two types of options I'm going to talk about first. There's something called a call option, and there's something called a put, P-U-T, a put option, call and a put. So a call option essentially is where you think the price is going to go up. You think the price is going to go up for that particular stock. So you would want to do a call contract, right? Same thing, vice versa. If you think the stock is going down, you would like to do a put contract. It's really that simple, right? But not being able to know where the trend is going can get you in a lot of trouble. And I use a metaphor for a lot of people. I say, you know, just imagine, you know, it's like trout trying to swim upstream, right? They're going against the trend and they're easy targets for the predator, for bears or whoever, you know, just scoop you right up. You're going against the trend. And you hear the expression, the trend is your friend. You know, you want to stick with the direction on where the stock is already moving to have the best amount of success when dealing with these types of options. So earlier I said something about strike price. So basically a strike price is the agreed upon price for that contract for a future trade. So again, when you're trading options, you're not obligated to buy those shares at the end of that contract. Now, if you want to own those shares, this is a cheaper way of trying to attain those shares. Instead of paying, you know, $17,000 for 100 shares of Apple, you know, you can take your profits from these contracts and just buy your own shares, which is what most people do in the first place. They just take the profits and then they'll use those profits and spread it out however they want. Maybe they want to buy, you know, more shares of Apple, but this was an easier way of doing that. The price, that price I was mentioning is something called a strike price. That strike price, again, is something, a price that you choose, a target that you think that stock will hit within that time period of the contract. So if it's a contract that's a week out, you're saying, okay, Apple's trading at 172. I think Apple may hit 175 by the end of the week, you know, potentially. It's all a game of probabilities. So you would do a call contract, you know, in hopes that that stock was going to continue to move up. That price that you choose, that strike price is actually pretty important. So again, it's the agreed upon price for the trade. So basically, if that price moves above your strike price, well, let me just say this also. There's your strike price and there's a break-even price, right? And to not confuse people, the break-even price is the strike price that we just talked about minus the premium that you have to pay. Because remember, I told you with that option, for that Apple option, it's going to cost $186. That $186, that is your risk. That's what you're risking to win, you know, it could be unlimited gains, you know, to be honest. You know, if as long as that contract is going on, you can continuously gain money until it reaches the expiration of that contract. So if you're right, but again, for that to be possible, the price would have to surpass that strike price you choose. And it's vice versa. If that price moves below your strike price, then you can essentially lose that money. Well, how much money am I going to lose? You're going to lose the risk that you took. So in that Apple example, $186 for the price of that, for one contract, is going to cost me $186. I'm at risk of losing that whole $186. Worst case scenario, I'll lose that $186. Best case scenario, I'll make hundreds more, you know, and that $186 will be deducted from the profits at the end of the contract. If you're in the money and choose to exercise your profit, the difference between the strike price and the market price of the shares at expiration, that's basically what I just said. You always want to consider the cost of the premium of that contract. And I know I'm throwing a lot of big words out, but I'm trying to simplify this to make it easier for people to understand. There's always going to be a risk with these option contracts, and that risk is going to be the cost of that contract, right? But again, remember, we're taking a small percentage of the cost of that stock, and we're multiplying that by 100. So the you know, usually the pros outweigh the cons if you're correct, if you're right in your thesis, okay? One other thing I wanted to bring up. So how are the option price, how option prices are determined, that premium? How's that premium determined? Who determines that I have to pay that $186 to that person that's selling that contract? Like how's that number come up, right? I get that question a lot. And then this one I wrote down, but the premium is influenced by the stock's current price, the strike price you choose, how much time until expiration, and the volatility of the actual stock itself. All these factors combined create a puzzle where each piece affects the cost of that option. These are the things you really don't see, the things that are working in the background. But any platform you're trading on, whether it's Robinhood, whether it's Fidelity or whatever, when you're buying that option, usually it'll give you that. So you don't have to do any of the math. It'll actually give you, hey, this is the cost of the contract for this long, and this is going to be your break-even price. So before you can start making any money, it has to surpass that break-even price. And that, like, again, that break-even price basically is the difference between the strike price and the premium of the contract, if that makes sense. You got any questions so far?
Yeah, I have one. So like I know with like traditional stocks, if they're up and you take the money out, you know, you're taxed on that. So is that the same thing with the options? You know, I'm up high, I take the money out, and then I invest it somewhere else. So I'm paying penalties each time I'm moving.
Absolutely. There are taxes when you are dealing with options, for sure. But they're taxed differently. And So the capital gains tax for options is a so short-term capital gains applies if you hold an option for 1 year or less, and the rate is usually the same as the ordinary income tax rate. Long-term capital tax gains applies if you hold the option for more than a year, which most people usually don't do, ranging from 0 to 20% depending on your income level. So you're still going to have to pay taxes regardless. There's no real way around having to pay taxes. You're still going to be taxed with options. The only, I guess, the sweet part of that whole thing is with the gains is you can make from options, paying the taxes, paying the capital gains tax on those is something that is feasible. Something I usually recommend, you know, traders, and I tell them all the time, like all the gains and stuff that you make, you always want to put aside a little bit of money for taxes at the end of the year, right? You don't really know, you know, throughout the year how well you're going to do with trading. You know, your losses could possibly offset some of your gains, and you know, you end up only paying taxes on those capital gains, if that makes sense. When we're dealing with options, we want volatility. You know, any options trader wants the stock to be volatile. That's how we make money. So, you know, Apple as an option is probably not the best example because Apple's not that volatile. Apple usually moves sideways, you know, a lot of the time. I mean, it's moved so far this year, it's moved up pretty well. But typical Apple, if you've been watching it throughout the year, that's not one of those stocks that is extremely volatile. Now, if you prefer like something like Tesla or, you know, Nvidia or MicroStrategy, stocks like that, you know, some of those stocks are moving at like, you know, $10, $20, $30, you know, a day, you know. So it's those types of stocks in particular, man. You can, you know, you pay a little bit extra for the price of those contracts. But you know, think about the math again. You know, if you know, stock moves up, something like Nvidia moves up $25, you know, you got one contract, that's $25 times 100. You understand? So that's what I mean. It's you definitely want to look for volatile stocks if you're deciding on going the options route, because that's how you make most of your money, is looking for like volatility, looking for stocks that move, you know, not something that moves just, you know, at a 200, you know, IV, which is implied volatility. You know, you something that's moving like 200%, either that can go either way. You know, if you're wrong, you can lose your entire premium that you put down really fast, right? Or but if you're right, you know, you can make a ton of money, you know, doing the same thing. So we want volatility in the options world. That's how you make the most money. And I want people to understand that there's your traditional calls, like I said, which meant you think the price is going up. And we have puts also, where you think the price is going down. There's also a type of options that are called covered options. You know, the difference between regular options and covered options, and you can have covered calls and puts. The only difference is you actually own shares of said particular company, right? So, for example, in a covered call, we'll keep using Apple as a reference for now. With a covered call, you own, say you already own 100 shares of Apple already. Well, check this out. You can do a covered call, which means you think the price is going to go up. You know, the covered just means you own 100 shares of it, right? The other typical calls and puts, a lot of people, you may hear the terminology naked, naked calls, naked puts. All that means is you don't own the stock at all. And mind you, when we were talking about stocks earlier, this is, you don't have to own shares of any of these stocks to play options at all, like zero. You know, you're literally, you know, using the leverage of the market to help you make money in the options world. So initially, when I was talking about normal calls and puts, you don't have to own 100 shares of any of these stocks to play options. When you're talking covered calls and covered puts, those you actually is where you already own shares of a company, right? So why how can this, you know, be important or be a factor at all? I'll give you one example. So for the covered call, you own the stock already, right? Think of it as you're like renting out you're renting out 100 shares of the stock you already own. You're renting it out to somebody else, and you're collecting that premium, right? That premium, again, the market determines what that premium is. But, you know, for example, let's just say the premium for that Apple stock, you know, $186. So that $186 premium would go to you because you already own 100 shares of that contract. So you can essentially, if those contracts never get exercised, which basically means the person that buys the contract from you, if you already own shares of the stock, of course, that person on the other end has to pay you a premium, right? You collect that premium regardless of, you know, what happens with the stock. So if the stock continues to soar up, but it doesn't reach their strike price, say they had a strike price of $195, or I'm sorry, so Apple's at 172. Yeah. Say they had a strike price of 195. I think Apple's going to reach 195. Well, guess what? If that stock comes nowhere near 195, that premium, that premium that they paid you, you keep that premium, and the contract expires worthless for the other person. So they just lost $186, but that was the risk that they took, right? There's a risk with everything, any type of trading. So that's one way that people that are, so say for example, you know, you own, you know, S&P, you know, shares that you were saying earlier. So, you know, some people do contracts or option contracts for SPY, which is the ETF ticker symbol for the S&P. So some people would, you know, that already own shares of the S&P, they may say, hey, I want to create a contract, a call contract, because I think the price is going to keep going up, but I kind of want to put the, you know, I kind of want to keep it out of reach. So I make sure I collect this premium and not have to sell my shares. That's the other part of the exercising method. If that options contract expires, or if you let it expire, you are obligated at that point, upon expiration, you're obligated at that point to buy those shares at that said agreed to price, which was a strike price that we talked about earlier. So you're agreeing to buy those shares at that specific price if you let the contract expire. Like I said, myself, and a lot of other traders that I know, most of us, we don't really want to own the shares of said particular company. If we really wanted the shares that bad, we just go buy the shares, right? We play options, we collect the money we get from the options, and we just go buy the shares that way. Because you may even potentially have a whole bunch left over that you can still play around with. So sometimes it's not in the best interest to hold a contract the entire time of expiration, right? So to give you an example, if there's a contract that's a week out, you know, some people may go 4 days into that contract. And if they're in the money, if they're up in the money, you know, the prices surpass their strike price and they've already broke even and the stock is still soaring, they can go ahead and cash that contract out before the end of the week and just take those profits, right? And take those profits and, you know, buy shares of the stock if they want to, or use it for something else, you know. There are other options when it comes to the difference between a naked option and just a covered option. So again, the real big difference is with naked options, you don't have to own anything, right? You can do calls, you can do puts without ever owning the stock. With covered calls and covered puts, you already own the stock and you want to make money or a premium because you're lending out your shares to the market for that buyer on the other side with the potential that, you know, if, again, if they choose to exercise that contract, then you're obligated to, at that point, at the end of the contract, not before it ends, at the end of the contract, you're obligated to sell those 100 shares to that person at that price that they chose for that contract that you set up. Okay. And it's the same thing with selling covered puts. So what a lot of people do is say you own, we'll keep it simple. Say you own Apple, and you know, Apple right now is in trouble with the DOJ. The department, yeah, DOJ is basically saying that Apple's been monopolizing the market for way too long and cutting out other you know, other providers, you know, with like Samsung or whoever else. They've kind of cornered the market, right? $2-3 trillion company. So it's hard to compete with that anyway. So say Apple's doing pretty bad though, after this news comes out, right? And then the stock is starting to decline. Well, if you hold Apple, you're like, damn, how can I hedge against this? You know, my stock is, you know, my portfolio is losing value. So what a lot of people will do, if you know the stock, the trend, if you know the trend is going down already and the stock is, you know, moving to the downside, you can do a put option on your own, you know, on a covered put option on your own shares and make money, because the price is already going down anyway. You can make money off these options to hedge against what you're already currently losing in your portfolio. So it's lots of different ways, you know, lots of different styles of options that you can play around with. There's another type of option called a straddle, where it's kind of exactly what it sounds like. You don't know if the price is going to go up or down, so you're essentially a straddle is two different option contracts, one to the upside, one to the downside. So you're gonna be right on one of them. And what a lot of people do is they'll, and this is for the more conservative options traders that, you know, don't want to take that risk on being wrong, that don't read charts, that, you know, don't know anything about fundamental analysis either. So that's just one way they can protect their asset. You know, oh, it's going down, let me do a covered put option contract while it's going down, collect the premium off that, and also, you know, collect some money to hedge against what I'm already losing, right? And they can do whatever they want with that profit. They can go buy more shares of Apple, you know, even though it's going down. You know, that's the best time to buy it now, right? When it's, you know, we buy low and sell high. That's always been, you know, the golden rule of trading.
You enjoying yourself on Black Men Sundays, brother?
Oh, always, man. But let me tell you something, Corey. The type of talent, the type of the men and women that you bring on this show, man, drop gems every single time. And I go back and I'm listening to a lot of the podcasts and I'm taking notes. There's so much expertise, you know, about generational wealth, you know, just about everything. Man, I've the doctor you had on that was talking about crypto and everything as well. There's always something to learn, somebody to learn from. I don't know what goes into selection of guests when you bring on, but you are bringing in some hitters, man, some home run hitters every single time. So I just wish more, I want more people to know about this show, man, and what you're putting out there to the world at no charge. You know, you're giving them the game at no charge. And, you know, I hate for people to sleep on it, man, because there's some phenomenal guests you've had on this show, man. And, you know, I've reached out to you about a couple of them. I'm like, how can I get in contact with that guest? Because they were talking about this. And I don't, you know, I'm not an expert in that. But, you know, I'm a firm believer in your network is your net worth. So it's always good, you know, to network. And you know, again, I just applaud you, man. I always have a great time coming on the podcast, and love the caliber of talent, man, you're bringing on this podcast, brother. And it's very much appreciated. And I'll keep spreading the word. You know, you already know that.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. And before I let you get out of here, what are some do's and don'ts with the options trading? You know, I'm new. You know what? I'm going to just get some NVIDIA. Like, what are some do's and don'ts of it?
I would say the biggest do is, like I was saying earlier, learn the Greeks. Because, like, I'm telling you, that alone will make this complex trading tool a little bit easier to understand. If you understand the process of how options work with you know, the time value, the time decay, and all these certain things, if you understand that, then it's a lot easier. You feel a lot more comfortable, and it's a lot easier diving into the options field. So the number one rule I would tell everybody is learn the Greeks first, please. It will help you out along the way. Just take your time. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. You know, it's a marathon to generational wealth. None of this stuff happens overnight. So you want to equip yourself, man. You want to, you know, study as much as you can, and learn, you know, these things. So I would say the number one thing, the number one do is learn the Greeks first. And another do is figure out ahead of time what your risk tolerance is. How much are you willing to lose in a day, right? If you say, hey, based on how my portfolio is set up, I only want to risk 1% of my portfolio. That's the biggest risk I want to risk, you know. That's it. That's totally fine. So I would say figure out, manage your risk, or you know, whatever your risk is going to be, and stick with that. Write it down if you have to. So that way, if there's a power in writing stuff down, man, if you write something down and this is my rule and you don't want to break my rule, I will not lose more than three, you know, say for example, three, I will not lose more than $300 in this market. And when if you get close to that, you know, it's time to close the laptop, and tomorrow is always another day. There's always going to be another setup in a trade to where you can, you know, jump back in there. So I would say those are the biggest do's and the biggest don'ts. You know, number one, don't just jump into options blindly, because at the, you know, saying at the beginning of the show, essentially it is gambling, man. If you just go in there unaware of what you're doing, some people think it's just a get rich quick. You know, yeah, you can make some money. You can be lucky for a certain amount of time before reality sets in and the greed kicks in and you end up wiping out your entire account. You know what I mean? So, which I have done as a beginner over the years. I got a little bit too cocky. So it's really about just putting in the work, to be honest, man, and learning before just jumping in something like this blindly. Because like I said, you can make a lot of money in options, but you also can lose a lot of money in options if you are unaware of any of the rules and how a lot of this stuff works. Another do is just try to eliminate as many distractions as you can, while you're learning, right? While you're watching these videos or, you know, watching this podcast, take the time to really sit back and learn, eliminate any distractions, you know, go in a room by yourself if you have to. And because like I said, this is life-changing money, man. Like I know people that are making tens of thousands of dollars a month, you know, trading options. So there's a whole lot of money. And me myself, I, you know, again, I focus a little bit, diversifying a little bit of everything. So I do crypto, I do options. I do day trade options. I do Forex as well. I dabble in futures a little bit, but I don't know much, you know, that much about futures, but I know enough to get by. So, and one thing I'll say to everybody, you don't have to learn at all. You don't have to know everything about there is about options trading. If you do your research and do your studying, find a strategy that works for you, that works with your trading plan, and it works with your risk reward trading plan. Once you do that, you know, there's no stopping you after that, man. So it's, you know, I just want to say good luck to everybody that ventures on this journey.
You know, you Black Men Sunday's family at this point, man. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you for coming back on the show. I appreciate all this information. And again, this is one of those shows. Y'all gonna have to listen to this like a few times, and then you can say, I told you so. So Ray Simmons, peace out, brother.
Thank you, brother. Have a good one. Enjoy your weekend. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away.